Greetings, my Kardec radio friends, from the voice of Allan Kardec. Today's audio journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec covers the remaining portion of number 257, that is, theoretical essay on sensation in spirits. Enjoy. In saying that spirits are inaccessible to the impressions of matter, we are referring to the most evolved spirits, whose etherealized envelope finds no analogy in this world. It is different with spirits whose perispirit is denser, because they perceive our sounds and our odors, but not via a limited part of their organism as when alive. We may say that molecular vibrations are felt throughout their entire being, and therefore in their sensorium communi, the spirit itself, but in a different manner, and perhaps producing a different impression, which may cause a modification in their perception. They hear the sound of our voice, and yet they can understand us without the need of speech. The mere transmission of thought is sufficient, attesting to the fact that their mental acuity becomes greater the more dematerialized they become. The faculty of sight is independent of light. It is an essential attribute of the soul, for which darkness does not exist, and shows itself to be broader and more penetrating among those who are more purified. Therefore, the soul or spirit possesses within itself the faculty of all perceptions. During corporeal life, these perceptions are obliterated by the denseness of our organs. During extracorporeal life, they become increasingly liberated as the semi-material envelope becomes more and more etherealized. Drawn from the surrounding environment, the perispirit varies according to the nature of the different worlds. In passing from one world to another, spirits change this envelope as we change our clothes when we go from summer to winter or from pole to equator. When they come to visit us, the more evolved spirits assume a terrestrial perispirit, and so their perceptions are similar to those of common spirits. However, all spirits, whether highly evolved or not, only hear and feel what they want to hear and feel. Since they do not have sensorial organs, they can render their perceptions active or inactive at will, although there is one thing they are compelled to hear, the counsels of good spirits. Their sight is always active, but they can become invisible to one another. Depending on the class they belong to, they can conceal themselves from those who are less purified, but not from those who are more so. In the first moments after death, a spirit's sight is always dim and confused, but becomes clearer as it frees itself from the body and can acquire even more clarity than it had during life, including the possibility of penetrating objects that are opaque to us. As for the extension of a spirit's sight into indefinite space, into the future and the past, that depends on the spirit's degree of purity and evolution. You might say, this entire theory is not very reassuring. We had thought that once freed from our dense envelope, the instrument of our pains, we wouldn't suffer anymore. Now you're telling us that we can continue to suffer. Whether it is one way or another, it is suffering nonetheless. Alas, yes, we can still suffer a great deal and for a long time, but we might also no longer experience any suffering at all from the moment we leave this corporeal life behind. The sufferings of this world are sometimes the result of a cause outside of ourselves, but more often they result from our own volition. If we trace them back to their origin, we will see that most of them are due to causes we could have avoided. How many ills, how many infirmities do people owe solely to their excesses and ambitions, in a word, to their passions? If individuals always lived judiciously and never abused anything, if they always had simple tastes and modest desires, they would save themselves many tribulations. The same applies to spirits. The sufferings they undergo always result from the manner in which they lived on earth. Of course, they will no longer have gout or rheumatism, but they will experience other sufferings that are not any smaller. We have seen that such sufferings are the result of the links that still exist between the spirit and matter, that the more the spirit is disconnected from the influence of matter, that is, the more dematerialized it is, the fewer painful sensations it will suffer. Starting with its present life, it depends on the spirit itself to break free from the influence of matter, because it has free will and therefore the ability to choose to act or not. Let the spirit conquer its animal passions. Let it entertain no hatred, envy, jealousy, or pride. Let it cease to be dominated by selfishness. Let it purify itself through good sentiments. Let it practice the good. Let it not give to the things of this world any more importance than they deserve. Thereby, even while in its corporeal envelope, it will have purified itself by detaching from matter, and when it leaves the body behind, it will not suffer any longer from its influence. The physical sufferings the spirit underwent in the past will leave no painful memory or disagreeable impressions, because these affected only the body. The spirit is happy to be relieved of them, and its peaceful conscience will exempt it from all mental anguish. Concerning this subject, we have questioned many thousands of spirits who belong to every social class and to every position. We have studied them at every period of their spirit life from the moment they left their body behind. We have followed them step by step in that life beyond the grave in order to observe the changes that had taken place in their ideas and sensations. In this respect, the most ordinary individuals were the ones who furnished us with the most precious elements of study. We have seen that their sufferings are always related to their conduct. They must suffer the consequences, and that this new existence is a source of ineffable happiness for those who have taken the path of the good. Hence, it follows that for those who suffer, it is because they have wanted to, and they have only themselves to blame in the other world as in this one.